Okay, let's look at the misuses. Remember now, when we look at the misuses, we're thinking about what can happen to a person who has this spiritual gift, but who's not walking close to the Lord, not being filled with the Spirit, and letting self get in the way. This gift's still there, it's just not being operated correctly, and things are getting out of kilter. Number one is hoarding resources for self. A key thing to living the Christian life, we all need to learn this, is a fear of the Lord. We need to develop a healthy fear of God. And many people don't have that. Many people have focused so much on the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, and we don't need to neglect those things, but there's more to God than just His love, grace, and mercy. He is a God who is to be feared when we disobey His commands. When we're not living for Him and not living with Him and walking with Him, we're in danger, and we need to learn to fear God. If you've never done a study on the fear of God, it's a powerful study to get into in the Bible. There's a whole lot there. Well, if a giver loses that fear of God, he may find himself storing up, and maybe sort of thinking, someday I'm going to give this. Someday I'm going to use this to bless others, but not now. And he keeps storing up. And the first thing you know, he's been hoarding resources that God didn't intend for him to hoard. He meant for him to give. And so it's a dangerous thing not to fear the Lord. Do you remember one of the reasons God taught Israel to tithe? It's in Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're not going to take time to turn there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 14, he gives them instructions about giving the tithe. And at the end there in verse 23, he says, that you may learn to fear the Lord always. He wanted them to learn how to tithe because he wanted them to walk in fear of him. There's an element there that we need to not neglect. That's a danger. Now, as I've talked about with the other gifts, there's a balance here, and you'll see the balance as we go on. There's a time when God wants a giver to save. Number two, using gifts to control people. Sometimes it's genuine control, sometimes it's perceived control. What givers are concerned, they want quality gifts. Remember that point? They want to give something really of value. So many times a giver will look at an organization or a group or a church or whatever it might be, and they think, I need to give to support them. But if I give them money, I'm not sure they're going to spend it wisely. So I'm going to give them what I think they need. I'm going to give them a thing. Now, many times that's good. You know, they've been led by the Lord to give that thing, and it's a valuable gift, and that's wonderful. But sometimes the people who are receiving it feel like they're being controlled a little bit by the giver. You know, they may not have wanted to buy that particular thing, but they needed the resources to do something else, and they feel like the giver is trying to control the situation. Sometimes the giver is, and they need to be sensitive to that. Number three. Forcing higher living standards on others. That comes from the giver's desire. Some givers' desire is to give really high-quality gifts. And if they give something really of great value, the person who receives it may think, wow, this is so good. The Lord wants me to have the best. And that's wonderful. And this other stuff I've got, it's not so good. Maybe I need to get rid of that and get the best there and start accumulating things in the name of having the best for the Lord. But really, it's more than what He intended for us to have. You know, we need to be careful there. There's the balance word again. You know, be balanced because, yes, God wants the best, but we can get that twisted into thinking that means I'm supposed to have the best for Him, for His sake, or our organization is supposed to have the best, and sometimes He wants us to have something else other than what we perceive might be the best. His best and our best may not be the same. That's all. And other people can begin to feel like they're being pressured into a higher standard than they're ready to accept. Number four, feeling guilty about personal assets. Now, this is the other side of number one up there. Sometimes the Lord is impressing a giver to store up assets, to save, so that later on they can give to a real need that the Lord's going to bring to their attention later on. And they may be led by God to do that. And then Satan comes in and he starts making them feel guilty over it. You know, there are needs out there right now. That, you know, kind of like Judas and you remember he said... You know, that could have been spent for the poor. Remember that? And so you can start to feel, well, there are needs out there now. I better get rid of this. I better start meeting those needs. And God has led you to save. See, that's why it's important to be sensitive to God and to God's leadership and to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes He wants you to save, and then later on He says, now, this is it. This is what I want you to give. This is what I want you to support. And at that time, it's time to do something. That means also, by the way, that givers sometimes need reassurance that their plans are in tune with God. And other Christian brothers and sisters can say, yeah, I can see God's hand in this, and you need to be you know, sensitive to God. Just be patient. He'll show you what it's for. Number five, rejecting pressure appeals. People who have the gift of giving, and this is not bad, they tend to be real sensitive to high pressure appeals, you know, pressure for money, and they tend to react to that negatively. They don't want to hear it. They don't like to hear it. Most of us don't. But if the giver is always looking for a hidden need, an overlooked need, he may not be sensitive to a known need. You know, sometimes God wants his children to say, here's a need. The church needs to say, here's a need. And a giver needs to be careful that they don't interpret something as high pressure that really isn't high pressure. See what I'm saying? They need to be able to say, that's coming on strong, but maybe that's what God wants me to do anyway, and pray about it and be sensitive and not reject it just because it seems to be coming on strong. By the way, for the rest of us, when there is a need, that's a good signal. If we understand givers, it's a good signal that we need to be real careful that we don't go to givers for help, but we go to the giver with a capital G for help. God's the source. And if God wants to speak to somebody else to meet that need, he can do that. And it's not necessarily wrong to let the need be known, but mainly we go to God, not to an individual. Number six, giving too sparingly to his own family. Some givers want to be very frugal and thrifty. They want their families to learn to be frugal and thrifty. And sometimes they impress that on their family so much that their family sees them over here giving to somebody else, another ministry or something, and they're giving generously over there, and they're thinking, wow, you know, these other people are doing better than we are here at home, and they begin to get resentful. And so a giver has to be sensitive to that and learn how to take joy and delight in meeting the needs of his family and maybe getting some counsel from his wife or vice versa, wife from husband, you know, getting counsel. Are we doing this right? Are we in balance here? Number seven, giving to projects instead of people. Some givers may even get to the point where they want to give to build a building in the name of their generosity. And there's nothing wrong with building a building and giving credit to the person who gave a lot of money to help build that building. But if the giver's not careful, they get focused the wrong way, and they're focused on a project, and they forget, if they're not walking with the Lord, that all giving is to be for people, not for projects. You know, God may have a project that helps people, and that's fine. But the giving needs to be focused on people. Number eight, causing people to look to him instead of God. Talked about this earlier. If a giver lets people know that he's the one giving the gift, or people find out, then many times people will run to that giver when there's a need instead of going to God. And I remember a church in Texas that I wasn't intimately involved with, so I wouldn't want to be judgmental about them, but there was a man in that church who was giving very generously to the church, and it just began to look like that church was going to that man instead of going to God. And I may be reading that wrong, but that's how it looked. But I know that can happen. And I tell you what else can happen. There are carnal Christian leaders who will take advantage of someone who they've identified has the gift of giving. And they will go to that person and manipulate that person and get them to give to something that God really didn't want them to give to. And a giver has to be very sensitive to that, because people are going to try to manipulate that sometimes. And then number nine, waiting too long to give. If a person waits too long for confirmation, remember earlier I said a giver likes to get confirmation. If they wait too long for confirmation, and they may miss an opportunity to meet a need in a precise time. You know, when God is, there's a need over here, somebody's prayed, and God says, I'm going to use you to meet that need. And this person over here goes to meet the need, and the timing is perfect. But if this person prays, and God says, I'm going to use you to meet the need, and this person says, well, I'm not sure about that, and waits too long, God may have said, okay, I'm going to use this person to meet the need, and he'll meet the need another way, and this person misses the joy of being involved in precise timing from God. It all boils down to a giver having to be very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to God's leading.